Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 21st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Thomas Oliver. Thomas is a student at Beeson, and he is a student ministry resident here at Mountain Brook Baptist. He's been here for maybe 6 or 7 weeks, and I'm so glad already for the impact he is making on our students. After he reads God's Word for us, Thomas and I will sit down and have a conversation about things of life and faith. Thank you, Thomas, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is my first time on the show, and today I'll be reading John 1, verses 29 to 42 from the New International Version. All right, starting in verse 29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.' Then John gave his testimony. 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.' The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which, when translated, is Peter." Now join me in reading Psalm 41 from the New International Version. "Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. I said, 'Have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you.' My enemies say of me in malice, 'When will he die and his name perish?' When one of them comes to see me, he speaks falsely, while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it around. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, 'A vile disease has afflicted him. He will never get up from the place where he lies.' Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. But may you have mercy on me, Lord. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen."
Thank you so much, Thomas, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. We want to get to know you a little bit more. Tell me about where you grew up and a little bit about your family.
Yes, ma'am. So I grew up in sort of two parts, I guess. So I was born in a little town called Jacksonville, Alabama, near Jack State. We actually grew up in, I think it's unincorporated territory outside of Jacksonville, a little community called Pleasant Valley. That was just a wonderful sort of storybook way to grow up. Grew up fishing and all that kind of stuff out in the woods. And then my dad was the pastor of the church in the community, and just a wonderful little microcosm of a world kind of thing. And then going into sixth grade, my dad felt a call to Trinity Baptist Church in Madison, which is where he's still at today. And Bob Jones was the biggest school in the state when we moved up there. And so at Pleasant Valley, I had 100 people in my grade in fifth grade. And that would have been the biggest class in the school's history. And then I started middle school at Discovery in Madison. And I think I had like 300 or 400 in my grade, and that was a big change. But it did sort of help me get a very well-rounded kind of upbringing. If I grew up in the country, and then I also sort of grew up in a much more urban, suburban type area, and I really enjoyed both places, and I think both churches were a real sort of mainstay for me and kind of gave me a love for all different types of places.
Tell me about your siblings and your parents.
This is very important for y'all to know about me. I'm very, very blessed to have my parents. My mom and dad are the two best people I know. And I think it's funny getting to know Webb a lot because I'm a pastor's son. So he and I have a lot in common. And I'm very proud to be my parents' son. They have been just the biggest blessing in my life. And then I also have three older brothers that we're all very close, and I'm very thankful for them. My oldest brother has two sons, and little Roman and Theo are their names, and they are 4 and 2. And I just, that's my favorite thing to do, is to get to see them and play. And, you know, I've got a lot of faults, but one of them is that I do not have this fault. I'm an incredible uncle to those two guys. I love hanging out with those boys. And my youngest older brother just got married back in May. So we're very thankful for this new addition to our family, a new sister-in-law. And we're all just a very, very blessed family.
Let's get to know you a little bit better. What do you like to do for fun?
I really like to work out. That's sort of a cop-out answer, but I really enjoy exercising. And then, I don't know, I don't do too many things for fun because I'm in seminary. So I spend most of my time reading.
Yeah.
But in general, I really like to be outside. I love fishing and camping and all things like that. And then I'm a big sports nerd, really. I love basketball and football are probably my top two sports.
What are your favorite teams?
So Alabama, for sure, is the absolute number one. And then I'm a big Boston Celtics fan, and the Patriots as well. I know I'm not from Boston, but I am Irish. I have the red hair. So that's my connection to the city, and been able to visit there a few times, and I've just been a big fan my whole life.
What is your favorite food?
It's not like one. That's a tough one.
Okay. What is your favorite genre of food?
That's tough too. Or I would say category, if I had to pick one last meal type thing, this is very specific, but my mom makes meatloaf, pinto beans, turnip greens, mashed potatoes, cornbread, the whole nine yards.
Come on.
That would be my final meal if I had to pick one.
Delicious. You mentioned reading a lot or being in seminary. What is something that you're reading right now?
So I've been off out of school for this summer, so I've gotten to read for fun again, and I've been reading Friday Night Lights. It's a movie that I used to watch. Funnily enough, I grew up watching it, but I used to watch it before my football games to sort of get hyped up. And my brother read the book recently and told me that I had to read it. So I just got started on it a few weeks ago, and I'm almost done.
So you played a lot of sports growing up?
Yes, ma'am. I wasn't ever very great at them, but I really did enjoy playing. I wrestled for my high school at Bob Jones, and I was sort of the understudy, I guess, but I was a part of two state championship teams, so there's that.
Wow.
But I didn't get a ring because I was on the JV, but it was a really fun experience, and I really enjoyed wrestling, and then basketball and football were my two favorites, and I played football for my school, but I was not good enough to play basketball.
Well, Webb told me that you and he and some other students from the student ministry played basketball this last weekend. So.
Yeah, that was a reminder of how old I've gotten.
Thank you for investing in them.
Yeah, it was really fun. Webb was hitting everything.
You have hit the ground running with the youth ministry. What has been one of your favorite activities so far?
So actually, my very first day of official employment was the Friday morning when we drove down for beach retreat with our youth. And that was sort of a very much baptism by fire to start out. But it was amazing to get to see how Joel and Ethan and all of our adult leaders interact with the kids and get to really know the kids a lot better. I think probably my favorite thing we did on beach retreat was actually not anything that was scheduled, but after we sort of got to the free time at the end of the night, we were all in the big living room, and Joel was playing songs on his guitar. We were playing cards, and it was just really fun to get to sort of see everybody enjoying themselves and letting loose a little bit.
Let's transition into talking a little bit more about your faith in Christ. Growing up in a pastor's home, I know y'all talked about faith a lot, but how did you come to faith? And then tell me a little bit about your baptism.
Yeah, so I've, again, very thankful for my parents and how they've shown us the way in a lot of sense. But I also appreciate they never really forced it upon us. It was always something we chose to do. And, you know, like any kids, my mom was yelling at me to wake up because I was sleeping through church, all that stuff. But they have been very, especially as I've become an adult, very great resources for me. I wouldn't say I've sort of always accepted my faith. But there was certainly a period where I kind of ran from it a lot, beginning undergrad, and then through sort of various series of unfortunate events, found that I really needed God. And that would say that it was the summer of 2022. My dad took me to Israel and Jordan, and we traveled through the Holy Land for about 20 days. And it was like on Mount Nebo, where Moses would have first seen the Promised Land, sort of all these places. I baptized my dad in the Jordan, and he baptized me. I had been baptized at 8, but that's my real, the baptism that marked me fully utilizing and making my faith my own.
Wow, that had to be such a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I would love to go to Israel one day. What were a couple of highlights?
One, it was just amazing to see all these places that I've read about for all my life, and then like, for instance, the first day after our jet lag kind of wore off, we went to the Citadel in Amman, Jordan. This is the place where David sent Uriah to die. And that was something, I've always known that story, but it didn't really click with me until I stood at the bottom of the hill at this Citadel and saw truly how obvious of a death sentence this was. And that just made the story take on a whole new meaning, that everyone who knew where Uriah was being sent knew why he was being sent there. And they all still followed their orders. And so that was something that was added some real new depth to one of my favorite Bible stories. And then just the connections I made with people and locals that we got to know there. Truly two wonderful countries. Very fortunate that I got to go visit them.
Growing up in a pastor's home, what did you learn to appreciate about the local church?
So that was one thing that I learned as I got older. I have never really had a bad experience at a local church. The church that I grew up in Williams, was just a wonderful, welcoming, and warm community. Trinity has been the exact same. And I would say largely they are two of the biggest forces in me sort of accepting my call to ministry. And that's one thing that I have a great passion for, is making sure that we don't sort of give people a bad idea of what church should be. You know, that I read a quote from one of the books that I've had for seminary, where he was talking about there's no group that should have more cause for joy and celebration than Christians, and that sometimes we don't always show that. So that's something that I had sort of very much imprinted onto me by getting to see two joyful, celebratory congregations.
Are there worship songs or hymns on repeat in your car? What kind of music do you listen to?
So I actually had a very disappointing revelation to Reagan, my fellow youth resident, last week. I do not like worship music. I love hymns, but I don't ever really listen to them in my car. But Reagan has tried to push me to listen to more worship music.
She's going
to
get you.
She's going to get me. But
what
in general,
do you do in your car? Do you listen to just secular music?
No, I do. Really, the only time I listen to music is when I'm working out. But I've even changed that to, I had these big courses on the Old Testament, the New Testament. And one of the things I want to do better is to know the Bible better. I want to be able to recall it in my memory better. And so this is from my dad's advice. I've started listening to the Bible through my Bible Gateway app. And so I actually have a funny story. I was on the way to school one early morning to take a test on Leviticus. And so I was listening to Leviticus in the car on the way there. And it was a hot day. I don't remember, wasn't really thinking it through. I had my windows down. And we got to the sexual impurity laws, and I'm not making this up, a school bus rolled up at the red light next to me. And it occurred to me right as we turned green that I was listening to the specific part of the scriptures next to the middle school bus. But anyways, that's something I've tried to become much more intentional about, is just spending more time with the word in my ear. And so I would say I don't listen to Christian music very much, but I do listen to the Bible quite a lot.
Thomas, because you're in seminary and working at the church, I'm assuming that you want to be in ministry long term. Tell me about how the Lord has prompted you in that way, or how you felt called to be in ministry.
So that's sort of a long story. I'm sorry, I give long answers. Y'all will get to know that further as we spend more time together. But I actually, first time I truly remember feeling a call, I was 8 years old. In the gym at my church, my first church, Williams, we had a missionary coming to speak. His name was Caleb Oladipo, and he was born, and I honestly don't remember, but in a country in Africa. And he talked about that the day a missionary came to his village. And I will never forget, he used this phrase, "In just one day, my life was changed. And in just one day, the life of all of my children and all to come from me was changed because I heard the news."
Wow.
And this is the only time I've ever had this experience. I've legitimately felt I heard a voice saying, "That'll be you." And then this is also something I remember very clearly. My response was, "No, please, no, not me. I'm going to be in the NBA and the NFL when I grow up. I can't do all three." So that was sort of the first time I felt that calling. And then I felt it again going into when I was getting ready to go to college. But again, and this time not quite as funnily of a reason, I said no because I wanted to go and go into business at Alabama and make a lot of money and have all these great things. And then sort of halfway through my time at Alabama, I was just reached a point where I was very unhappy. And so I got a chance to intern at my home church for the summer. And that was the happiest I've ever been, was that summer. And then I came back to school at Alabama, and I had switched my major to history. For whatever reason, still I said no. And this time it had become no because I'm not worthy to be called. And that was probably the thing that I struggled with the most. And it was about a year and a half or so where I was really struggling with that. And then I had that experience, again, very blessed to have my father, where he took me to Jordan and Israel. And it was on Mount Nebo where I heard that call, and again, that, you know, this will be you. And it was the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is the place where Jesus was crucified, baptizing my dad in the Jordan. It was all these little moments where I sort of felt that calling, and then finally said, because I had sort of said, fine, I'll do it a little bit before this experience. But this time I said, yes, please. I will, like, please pick me. Please send me. Here am I. And that's something that I'm very thankful that God didn't give up on calling me.
We're so thankful as well. When you read the scriptures today, did anything stick out, or was there a concept that you would comment about?
Yeah, so I'm just like we've talked about, I finished my first year at Beeson, and one of the big requirements for the first year curriculum is that we have an Old Testament and New Testament theology course. In our New Testament theology course, I took a test at one point on all four of the Gospels, which was a very unique experience. I've never had a test on the Gospels before, but it was helpful to sort of see how they're unique. And one of the things that I think John is tied for my favorite Gospel, but how it's all about getting us to understand who Jesus is. And at the end, I think it's in John 20, he says, "I've written all these things that you may know Jesus, and that by knowing him, you may believe in him. And by believing in him, you may have life in his name." And that, I think, really just sticks out to me in reading this, is that this is maybe the first true outwardly given testimony of Jesus, when John says, "This is my testimony." And that's something that just really stuck with me in reading this time.
As we think about our new mission and vision for the church and loving God, loving one another, loving the world, what are some devotional practices that have helped you specifically in your pursuit of loving God?
I think for me, the biggest thing has been in personal prayer. That's something I've always done. I have told this to my congregation at Trinity, that when I was little, I used to be the kid that needed the nightlight, and I couldn't sleep on my own. And even with a nightlight, a lot of the times I would be the one knocking on my parents' door and saying, like, "Hey, can I sleep in here?" And then it finally got to the point where I think my dad had enough. He didn't let me know this. He's way too kind to do that. But he said, "Let's try something new." He said, "I want you to pray. The last thing that you do before you go to bed is I want you to pray." And so that's something I have been doing, praying to go to sleep since before I could tie my own shoes. That's one of the things I've done basically every day of my life. But like I said, you know, as I became an adult, I realized that I had not really made my faith my own. And so prayer has been one of those things that I've really sort of tried to make my own. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but one thing I struggle with is overthinking and sort of thinking myself into being anxious about things. And so one thing I've started to do is we all sort of have an internal monologue where we can hear ourselves thinking. I try to imagine that he's in there with me listening. And I'm not the best at doing this. And even when I do this, sometimes I don't wait long enough. But I've started doing this thing. When I catch myself overthinking in my prayer or in my own head, I turn it into a prayer where I say, what do you think? And even with this big change that I've seen to help, I still struggle to ask that question sometimes. And I still struggle to make myself wait long enough to hear anything. But that has been a little change that has really helped me to appreciate what God does for me every day. I found that most of the times I don't really get a direct answer, but I do, and this is 100% the truth, I feel this sort of peace come about me that I just have chosen to believe is Him. But yeah, it's not always a clear, loud, booming voice, but I do just find peace when I say, what do you think?
Thomas, it has been such a pleasure to get to know you a little bit more. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes, ma'am. And I again want to say thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Please watch over us and protect us and help us all to remember who you are and to keep our faith in you. Please be with our student ministry this year as we go through a time of some change and trying new things. Be with all of our students and all of our members and help them to remember who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.